Good afternoon.
Actually, almost early morning.
Come up on the mic a little bit, bud.
Come up on the mic.
What mic?
You're not spiking at all.
I'm not spiking.
No, you're not making any waves.
That's strange.
No waves are being made by you. Welcome to Why Is This Thing.
Y'all.
Nico, you sound glum.
I'm a little glum.
Why glum?
I'm a bit glum.
Why are you glum?
I love glum.
A little glummy glum. Just a hint of glum in my life. Just a nice old...
You're glum-esque.
I'm glum-esque. I'm glum-filled. Very glummy, as a matter
glummy.
Of fact.
Just covered in glum.
Just glum in my life.
Glum all over his face.
Oh, yes.
So all much over. Glum. I am glumming so hard right now. Could you just give me more glum, please? I just need glum.
I'm out of glum. I have no glum to give.
I don't know how to respond to that. You just took the euphemism and just shat on it.
So. Or made it better, one of the two.
I don't know.
Great start. The chemistry's hot.
Yeah.
Nick, hi. How are
you? Hey, it's been 2 weeks.
It has.
For me. And yeah. A week for you guys.
It has been. Valentine's Day was 2 weeks ago.
How'd that go?
It went well, actually.
Yeah, well.
I'm sure you didn't listen to the podcast that your name is on. Yeah, why would you do that?
I mean...
That's not new, I guess.
No.
Just because you're not on it, I guess you're not changing your habits. It was fun. We had a good time. It actually came out pretty well. I was listening back to it about a week afterwards, and there was some good stuff in there. It was funny.
Good.
Live from Denny's. It was about an hour. We were talking about Valentine's Day fun facts and theories about men and women. It was interesting.
Oh, really? Theories.
So there you go. And the way
because I know you guys have never encountered any.
That's true. Yeah. That's
well, our original plan got destroyed.
That's true.
We were kind of upset about it.
It's true.
What happened?
Well, so none of us thought that on Valentine's Day, 2 days after a much anticipated film was coming out, that we wouldn't be able to get the seats we wanted for that film. So we planned on going and then doing Denny's afterwards.
So you're telling me you didn't get to see the movie?
So no. So we bought tickets online, but for like 2 hours... After
we showed up 10 minutes before the showtime.
Yeah, we
slight miscalculation.
But and I thought, oh, we should buy them online, and I just didn't say anything.
Yeah,
like it was.
Yeah,
it was a bit poor planning on everyone's part. So we ended up going to Denny's and recording, and then going to see the movie.
Right. So we didn't actually talk about Deadpool in the podcast,
which is what we wanted to do.
Right.
But, that's all right.
Yeah.
You know,
not much to talk about with Deadpool anyway. I mean
it was just a solid movie.
Kind of a below average superhero film, if you're asking me.
I heard it was just solid.
Yeah, kind of a weak filmmaking and kind of not so clever lines, but that's all right. You know,
it's good. Just Ryan Reynolds' baby.
Just Spider-Man.
It is Ryan Reynolds' baby.
Just Spider-Man swear words, if you know what I'm saying. You know,
I mean, that's just, fine. I'm just, okay with that. That sounds like a great movie.
Totally okay with that.
I'm going to judge. We'll get into Deadpool. We have far more important things to talk about today. But first, Nick, what do you want to get off your chest? It's been 2 weeks. What do you want to say in a podcast?
Leo DiCaprio won.
He got
that. Okay.
What did he win?
Death to an amazing internet meme.
What did he win? A race? What did he win?
He is the Democratic nominee.
Oh.
This year. And
Hillary was finally indicted, huh?
Yes.
And Leo stepping in.
Yep.
The Democratic establishment.
John Kasich won a Oscar.
Oh.
For his portrayal of Donald Trump in the movie about Bernie Sanders.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So he played Donald Trump in the Bernie Sanders biopic.
Right.
Okay, so...
And he won lead actor, even though he wasn't
Even though
actor.
He was a supporting character. Yeah. Well, that's controversy. What's the name of the film, Nick?
It's hashtag Oscars so supporting actor. I don't know.
I thought it was hashtag Oscars so huge.
Huge.
That's what I thought it was. Oh, starring John Kasich as Donald Trump, but about Bernie Sanders.
So real topic. So yeah, Leo DiCaprio won the Oscar.
Sure.
Big news.
Well,
death to the meme, he said.
To the meme.
I think it opens up a world of new memes, really.
Yeah.
But that was such a classic meme.
It was. I saw this one post, they're like, it basically listed like 1996 to 2016 or whatever the fuck for the meme.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, okay, just because you're listing the year that his first big movie came out,
that wasn't the meme start didn't of exist. The meme. Yeah.
It's not like he came out the first movie and they're like, he deserves an Oscar right now. And like, that meme didn't exist until 5 years ago. Like,
if that.
Actually, Al Gore and the Clinton administration actually invented the word meme. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Really?
They came up with the word meme. Yeah.
Well, meme meant something else before internet memes became a thing.
Yeah. Al Gore was like, you know, there's so many pictures of cats on the internet and there's, you know, so many Charlie's biting fingers and everything. And he's like, we'll call it a meme.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. Actually,
he invented the internet.
Al Gore line. Yeah. Direct quote. It was big press conference. Clinton was applauded for it. It was right after the Monica Lewinsky thing. It was
kind of crazy.
Yeah, it was.
What a crazy world. A crazy world we live in.
Yeah. You know, that's like a joke.
Politicians invent memes. And
yeah. In 10 years, it's not a joke. You know, in 10 years, that's like a legitimate thing. In a world where Donald Trump could be president, anything's possible. Yeah. So did you watch Leo win?
No.
Okay, good. That's nice. Did you watch
the I heard about
one?
It.
Nope.
I saw a speech.
I was watching Psych.
He started talking about somehow he compared The Revenant to, like, global warming.
I heard about that. Yeah. I saw his speech after the fact.
I was amazed.
I didn't watch it.
How did you tie that into global warming and just make that an argument?
He's huge into climate change.
Did you? You know what I didn't know? You both probably knew this, but he was a vegetarian and he ate that fucking bear liver. Or whatever.
Oh, I didn't realize he was vegetarian.
No.
Whatever, with a horse liver or whatever. I don't remember.
Yeah.
He was a vegetarian and he actually ate that shit.
Really?
I didn't know he was vegetarian.
Yeah.
Wow. Well,
he's
not,
like an
not
avid,
anymore, I guess.
Avid vegetarian.
So maybe he does deserve an Oscar then. All right, fine. Because I wasn't buying it up until now, but it's okay.
Well, yeah. And like, didn't he like sleep in a bear carcass?
Well, yeah, but did horse. You? Well, did
was
you know
a horse carcass?
That movie, like, legitimately, like, the director was like, I regret. Well, he doesn't regret, but he's like, it was a bad decision to film where we filmed. Because everybody was freezing, everyone was dying, like, everyone was miserable.
But
Leo,
he also... But he
Leo
also
10 times so.
Well, half the cast quit. Cast and crew quit.
Like, and then they had to, like, replace him.
Right.
Because it was that fucking miserable.
It was a shit show.
And, I mean, yeah, give him the Oscar.
I guess so. Another question for you, too. Did either of you see The Revenant?
Not yet.
I downloaded it. I've yet to watch it.
Guess what? Snooze Fest. Fucking snooze fest.
Yeah.
And Leo is fucking overrated in it. That's all I have to say about
you
that.
You have to understand, this Oscar isn't for The Revenant.
I guess.
This Oscar is for
it's
Leo's
for his six other nominations. Five
career.
Other nominations.
So then riddle me this, Batman. If we're giving Lifetime Achievement Awards to Leo, why the fuck couldn't we give Stallone one? He was right fucking there. He was up for Creed. Rocky's sick, guys. He's been doing these movies for 40 years now. We're all waiting for this speech, and he fucking loses Best Wait Supporting Actor. Explain that to me.
Because Leo can actually act.
Yeah. 100% agree.
Oh, dare you!
100% agree. Me and Zach just looked at each other. We're like, we'll wait for him to finish. We know.
Stallone can't act.
Stallone's not good.
Rocky's
sick. That's like saying Paul Walker could act.
Rocky's sick.
Not criticizing.
Rocky's sick.
Not criticizing the movies.
The Rocky franchise.
Rocky's
No.
Guys, Rocky's
Stallone
sick,
is not.
I'm not
fucking Leo DiCaprio.
I'm sorry. I'm not criticizing Rocky. I'm not criticizing Rambo. I'm not criticizing any of his movies. He just can't act.
Did you guys see?
Leo can act.
Did you guys see Creed?
No.
Neither of you see Creed?
No, I don't like boxing movies.
I fucking cried in Creed, and you know what? I cried of boredom with The Revenant. So there's a big difference between the two performances.
I feel
if
like
Stallone,
I would like Revenant.
If Stallone was playing a racist plantation owner and cut his hand open on a glass, he would have been like, help, medics,
Yo, Adrian!
Adrian, flash me up!
Mick! Seal it up, Mick!
You think he would have thought last second, let's rub my blood on this chick's face? No. That's a Leo DiCaprio thought.
I disagree, because Stallone bled...
Stallone wouldn't have noticed.
No, let me tell you something. What do you know what they fucking did with Rocky IV?
Sure.
So they had... You know what? We're not going to talk about funny games until like a half hour in, because I'd much rather talk about this. So Rocky IV, he's fighting Drago, whatever the actor's name is.
Cal Drogo?
Not Cal Drogo. The Russian dude in Rocky IV, and they solved the Cold War and everything. But...
Yeah, basically, that's what that movie was.
Right. So they're fighting, and they're like, all right. Sly, do we want to like choreograph this because he's directing the movie?
Sly,
yeah, Sly. You want to like choreograph this? How you want to shoot this? Whatever. And he just says to Drogo, whatever the guy's name is, like, yeah, no, let's just fight. Let's just go for it, and let's just start punching each other, and we'll just use the footage. They legitimately fought in that movie, and he took punches. So I tell you this: if he cut his hand, that's the least of his problems. He's cutting
off. Do you think Leo DiCaprio wouldn't fucking, if given that chance, fucking box
All I know is it was Stallone's movie.
You put
Leo in a movie facing Mike Tyson, and he'll be like, punch me as hard as you can. Like, just fucking do it. I'm ready.
And what? Then how's he going to explain that to the boatload of gold-digging whores that he's ready to bang afterwards?
He doesn't have to. They're after the money.
Yeah, you think he has to explain anything?
Not to mention, it's Leonardo DiCaprio.
It's Sylvester.
Not to mention
Stallone.
Stallone was he made porn.
Stallone did.
Oh, okay. No, Stallone didn't make porn.
Yes, he did.
Oh, he did.
Yes. Stallone.
I thought Schwarzenegger.
They
made
both
porn.
Did. They both did.
Did. Were they the same porn?
The same. It was actually just them. No girls.
Oh,
just straight man meat. Just no, clapping.
No wonder they were so close. No wonder they made three Expendables together.
Yeah, no wonder they're so close right now at their age, not ever before. They've never been in a movie together.
Yeah, except for pornos. Actually, those were ironically also called the Expendables, but it was referring to a very different part
it's
of the
It's a very
film.
Different movie.
Very different part
very
of the
different
film.
Movie.
Yeah, something was expending. anyway.
Okay.
Any other Oscar thoughts?
What else won? I know Mad Max. No, I know Mad Max won a shit.
It won like
ton.
Five Oscars.
Won a bunch of technical awards. But according to the Academy, you could be like the best sound design and the best special effects and the best makeup. But all those elements don't really matter because you're never going to win Best Picture. Mad Max had no shot. Alejandro Iñárritu won director for The Revenant, and Spotlight won Best Picture.
Was Spotlight the one with the church?
The Catholic yes. priests, which was my favorite movie of the year. I did happen to agree with that selection. It was very good. Yeah, I was very mad about Stallone.
No, did they just, like, did they show, like, a like scenes in that movie, Spotlight?
How so? What do you
did they show scenes of, like, the
Yeah, there's
priests?
Scenes, there's scenes in the movie. Oh, of the priest. No, none of that
Like,
shit.
Just an 11-minute molestation scene?
No.
To the point where you go, you know what, I'm getting tired of this molestation.
Yeah, no, it's in, like, this underground subway in Germany or wherever.
It's going backwards.
It's going. The director of Spotlight. He studied Irreversible. You know, you wouldn't think that's the first film you go to about a journalism movie, but
it worked so
but
well.
But it works.
Oh, it flowed.
Just hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right?
How can I argue with that? Brie Larson won for Room. She won Best Actress for Room.
I mean, the kid should have won.
That's true. Jacob Tremblay was adorable. He presented one of the awards.
His parents are fucking good looking. Holy crap.
I saw the Instagram picture.
I didn't notice that.
Holy crap. His parents are good looking.
Oh, that's good. Okay.
They're the kind of couple you just want to watch, you know, bang. What? Is that not a thing?
No.
You never go out there and just pick power couples and be like, you know, I watch you bang.
Let me pull up a chair.
If you're willing.
Michael Fassbender. And,
I'll stand and if I yeah. have to, if there's no chair.
I'll ready. Stand. How considerate.
If I'm picking, I'm taking Michael Fassbender or Alicia Vikander.
Are they actually a couple, though?
I don't know who Alicia Vikander is.
Ah, well, see, this is why you should have watched the Oscars, Zachary. First of all, Google picture.
Hold on, was she the chick who said Happy Black History Month?
No.
Who was that chick?
That was Stacey Dash. Alicia Vikander won Best Supporting Actress
Alicia
for
Vikander.
The Danish Girl. She's the new hot actress, and hot does not begin to describe her looks. She's my new crush. Say hello to the future Mrs. DiGregorio. The new future Mrs. DiGregorio. Take a look.
She looks like... Who
Feast
she
your
look
eyes.
Like?
Feast your eyes.
She reminds me of someone.
Feast them.
She reminds me of someone.
That's a full course meal for your eyeballs right there. Ugh.
Who does she remind me of, Nick? Why am I asking you? You don't know actors.
I don't know, but I'm looking up Jason Tremblay's parents, and you're right.
Jacob
aren't they good-looking... Oh, yeah. They are good-looking.
Good-looking couple. Not yeah, as good-looking as Fassbender and Vikander.
I'd watch them bang.
I don't, sure. Sure.
I know this face.
She was in Ex Machina.
Haven't seen it.
She was in The Man from U.N.C.L.E. And she
That's
was,
it.
Yes.
That's it.
I saw Witch.
How was that?
How was that?
Weird.
Yeah?
Within like the, weird good or just
spoilers.
Weird?
Spoilers.
Oh, no,
spoilers.
I want to see it.
Spoilers. I was going to tell you what happens in the first 2 minutes.
Okay, never mind.
They mash up a baby.
Ooh.
Oh. Is it a good point? But you didn't answer my question. Weird good or weird bad?
I don't know yet.
Just weird?
Like, I finished the movie and I still wasn't sure.
Get great reviews.
Very weird.
Yeah?
I don't know if I like it or not.
Okay. Forest bombed, right?
What?
Did that come out yet?
The Forest.
With Natalie Dormer.
She can't bomb.
She can bomb my heart.
I don't know what that means. We're like, Al-Qaeda?
She was my favorite part of Hunger Games. It was Natalie Dormer.
Gotta say, I still haven't seen
the last one.
The last two.
The last one.
I still haven't seen the last one. Two.
That and the Asian-ass baby.
So is it a baby with an Asian ass?
Okay, no. Okay, so at the end of the Hunger Games...
So petite.
Katniss and what's his face?
PETA?
Yes. Have a kid.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Now,
spoiler alert for Hunger Games 4, by the way.
Yeah. But no, so we went to go see it with John, a couple of people.
Yeah.
But, so Nico and I were sitting sort of next to each other, and they were behind us. And I lean over to Nico, and I'm like, that is an Asian-ass baby. Like, that baby's Asian. Like, they found any baby they could, and it happened to be Asian.
Asian AF.
So
it's cheaper.
So it's cheaper. So the movie
child labor.
So the no,
it's allowed.
They're taking our jobs. They're taking all our babies.
So hold on.
Fuller House is using Asian babies.
So the credits roll. Right, we get up. We start walking out.
Yeah.
One of the people we went to said, "Did you guys see the Asian baby?" Yes, it was an Asian ass baby.
Yes. Okay. Tell me, better
Katniss. PETA and our little baby Ching Wong.
Ching Wong Everdeen.
Because
you know PETA's taking Katniss's last name.
Definitely.
Does it bother anyone else that his name is PETA and he's a baker, like PETA bread?
No, I love it.
Fucking annoying.
I loved it. Jeez. I choose to believe that was on purpose.
It was. I'm sure.
Better or worse, the Asian ass baby in
Hunger
Games.
The robot baby.
Don't steal my punchline.
I was just thinking it.
What's the robot?
Robot baby in
American
Sniper.
Sniper.
That's a robot baby. Not a real baby.
No, it was a real baby.
Which baby?
So,
the baby. His baby.
His baby. In American Sniper.
Oh,
a robot baby.
Okay.
Because like, I guess the first baby didn't show up.
Yes.
And then the second one was sick.
Oh, were they late?
Got caught in traffic.
So Clint Eastwood is just like, fuck it, get me your robot.
Yes. Clint's like, we will not delay this picture. We will shoot it right now. Robot or otherwise.
We will not move on to the next scene and then just go back.
Right.
I would rather have, I think, the Asian baby. Because there's a better story behind that somewhere.
You think so?
Well, I think the Asian baby designed the robot baby. Designed, programmed, and built.
Who do you think was paid more?
Ooh. I mean, well, is fuel currency? Like, because if powering...
Is time to build the robot included in cost?
Sure.
It's the robot.
The robot. Hands down, the robot baby.
Lucky if they flipped.
Was it a robot baby or was it just a doll?
It was a robot because it moved a little bit.
Oh, did it? Okay.
Its eyes started blinking. But it was
oh,
like,
no.
It was stiff as a board.
Painfully obvious that this was not a real baby.
Yes. However, not one of the least convincing parts of American Sniper.
No,
not
you
even
were,
in the
you
top
were,
five.
You were caught off guard by the parkour assassin from the Middle East.
We call him the Jason Bourne terrorist.
The Jason Bourne terrorist, yes.
Leaping through the rooftops and fucking killing Chris Kyle.
Jeez.
Awful.
Attempting to kill Chris Kyle.
True.
I hate spoiler
that
alert!
It's like American Sniper.
That's an intense
Not
movie.
A good movie.
Intense. Intensely boring. Yeah, sure. Intensely
made me
boring.
Uncomfortable. I don't know. I didn't know what was going to happen because I didn't know the true story.
Mm-hmm.
So I legitimately didn't know. It made me uncomfortable.
Here's my thing.
Okay.
Everyone who basically went to go see it, a majority, huge majority, knows the story of Chris Kyle.
Yes.
That's why this movie did as well as it did.
Is that why?
Oh, you got it.
Do you think people were rushing out because
everyone I know who was in the army bought tickets the opening night to go see that
movie.
But
is it because of the Chris Kyle story, or is it because it's a military movie that appealed to
life? I think it's more the Chris Kyle story than a military
movie. Chris Kyle's a really well-known name among military.
Yeah, I mean, he's...
He's like a military hero,
yeah.
Really.
Oh my god, yeah. I think he still has, if not the top, he has one of the highest
kill counts.
Yeah, kill counts.
Yeah.
Confirmed kill counts.
Yes.
The unconfirmed is tremendous.
Yes.
So everyone knows the story.
Yeah.
Majority who went to go see it, probably 95, and that's, I think I'm being generous there.
Sure.
They know the whole story. They know that he went to the shooting range and was shot by
But I feel
guy.
Like that wasn't even an important part of the movie, though.
Exactly.
That was an afterthought.
But the issue is, show it.
I agree. No, I was with you.
Yeah, I was with you. Show
with you.
That.
Yep. Yep.
Like, that's supposed to be one of the biggest things in this movie was that the turmoil of his death show it.
Yes.
You don't have to show, you know, the whole thing. Maybe show them at the gun range, goes off, and then you see him on the ground or something. But show it.
Or have a gunshot or something.
Yeah. Something. Yeah. Anything.
I'm with you.
Sure there was some sort of decision made about that. I'm sure they did question that, whether they were going to do
that. Yeah, I mean, but don't just say, oh, yeah, he was shot. Oh, there we go. Here we go.
The argument would be that it was insensitive, but then my other problem with American Sniper is that it makes war... It treats war with absolutely no humanism
whatsoever. It was pretty propaganda-ish.
It was. So, I mean, I don't know how you can say we're treating him with respect, but we're not treating this entire issue. I hate American Sniper.
I get that movie. I get it. Don't get me wrong. I get it.
I don't get that movie. Bradley Cooper's great in it. Great performance in a
mediocre movie. Yeah, it's just...
It was a two-hour recruitment video.
The only...
A boring one at that.
I just don't really like Clint Eastwood that much.
Yeah, he doesn't like Clint Eastwood.
You know what? Okay.
I like Clint Eastwood.
I'm with you.
It's not even so much like that as movies. It's more I just don't like Clint Eastwood as a human being.
You didn't like the chair speech that
not
he
really. No, it was pretty embarrassing.
Where's Obama? The empty
I was embarrassed
chair.
For him.
The empty chair.
It was embarrassing and weird and uncomfortable.
Ugh. All right. Anything else before we dive right in?
Well.
Because we're going to dive.
Deep dive right into the middle of that lake.
Oh. So 2 weeks ago, we did Room versus The Room, and Zach hated that podcast.
For some reason.
Terrible.
His least favorite podcast
Easily
ever.
The best movie we've ever seen as a group.
Did not like it.
Okay. And so he didn't enjoy it, so he said, you know what, you guys? I get the next choice. I get to choose what we're doing next. Yeah. I'm going to drive this ship now. And you chose a film. What's the name of that film, Zachary?
Funny Games.
Funny Games.
A movie that I generally like.
Mind you, no funny and no games.
It was some funny.
There's some games.
Spickle funny, dash of games, stir together.
But then suddenly, Chemical X.
Chemical X. There's a lot of Chemical X in this.
Yeah, you like this movie.
I like this movie.
How many times have you seen it?
This is 4.
Okay, how many times have you seen the original?
Not at all.
Okay, I was going to say, you've seen the original too? Like,
No, not at all. Because this is a shot for shot. The other one's just in, the other one was an Austrian film. Is that what the language is called too? Austrian?
No.
In Austria, do they speak Austrian?
I don't believe so. I believe they speak German.
Do they speak German? Look this up.
Yes. That doesn't sound right.
To Google.
I think so.
Well, okay. So you say shot for shot.
It is shot for shot.
And I know
99.99%.
Holy shit, Nico knows something.
Is it just German?
Oh, I was right about something.
It's German and Austrian German.
Okay.
We'll put that on the tote board.
It's the only thing you have on the tote board.
Okay. So
I'm pretty sure I could erase 90% of mine, and I'd still be beating you.
So shot for shot. Well, the two Psycho movies are also shot for shot. So that would be my counter argument to you say that they're both essentially the same movie, because one is an American classic and one is a piece of shit, and they have the same shots.
I don't know. I think with something like Funny Games, it really doesn't matter. Psycho was this great
movie. I
think
that's fair to say, too.
Yeah, I mean, Psycho is a classic movie, and then you get Vince Vaughn trying to do it, the guy who's known for doing comedy, and it just
who was in the original? Not Tim Roth.
Funny Games? I'm assuming a bunch of Austrian actors, right?
So Funny Games or in Psycho?
Oh, Funny Games.
Okay.
No, I mean, this is definitely an improvement.
Schwarzenegger, wasn't it?
What? No, it was a bunch of Austrian.
He played the kid.
Funny.
Ah, mom! No!
So.
Oh my god.
That's actually pretty good, Nick.
That was the best Schwarzenegger impression I've ever done.
Round of applause for Nick.
Oh my god, that was so. I didn't think that was me. That's how weird that was.
So. the original came out in 1997,
yeah.
Directed by a man by the name of Michael Haneke. Now, I have a history with Michael Haneke.
Do you?
I was telling
it's
you.
It's a very small history.
It's a small history.
Short history.
But Michael Haneke is...
Like a paragraph in history textbook history.
Yeah. One of the more difficult filmmakers living today. I would use that word.
Why is he difficult?
He's
the type, the movies he decides to direct me, you mean, or?
Yeah, so Michael Haneke has a lot of, I believe, artistic enthusiasm. I think he enjoys making movies. And
that's
a good thing. I think he enjoys pushing the boundaries. The problem with him, though, is that he's a psychopath. And the problem with him is that he doesn't know how to make an entertaining and or good movie. There was a film called Amour that came out 3 years ago.
Sounds like the kind of movies I'd make.
It does. I don't know if you would have made Amour. Amour was nominated for Best Picture. So,
oh, so you know, I'm not capable?
No. No, you could have made a 20 times better movie than Amour. Because Amour is the worst movie I've ever seen. And I'm like, oh my god, I was so excited. It's nominated for Best Picture. It's going to be awesome. It was this foreign French film in which two older people died for 2 hours. And it was about death and mourning and grief. And it was a lot of still shots like in this one. And the camera didn't pan or cut at all. And we were just stuck in this house with this older couple as one of them smothered the other one to death. Spoiler alert.
It won Best Foreign Film.
I'm aware it did. Yeah. Which is why I was so excited to see.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's not good. The guy's...
Best performance? Oh, nominee. Never mind.
I watched a two-hour movie about death recently in my Japanese class.
Yeah?
It's a Japanese movie.
What was that called?
Departures.
Oh. Come up on the mic, bro.
Departures. It's actually a good movie.
Okay.
We need to watch a Kawasaki film.
Kawasaki?
Yes.
Yes.
We need to watch one of his films.
Okay.
Miyazaki?
At some point.
You want to watch a Miyazaki film? Animated? My Neighbor Totoro? Something like that?
Oh, of
Totoro!
Wait, you still don't know what that is?
Nope.
You don't know what that Totoro possible? Is?
What now?
Princess Mononoke? Like, shit.
What? This is me, like...
That doesn't surprise me at all, actually. This not the... in the slightest.
This is the exact...
Spirited Away?
Yeah, I know Spirited
Howl's
Away.
Howl's Moving Castle?
Howl's Moving Castle?
Say what? This was literally the...
Howl's Moving Castle is probably my favorite.
So... This little exchange that Zach and I just did of me going, what? And him going, ugh. That was me explaining the primary process to him before.
No. It was much different because he goes to the primary and I'm like, nope. Nope. Nope.
I told him.
I'm sitting there doing a Sudoku. I'm like, nope.
I told him it's Super Tuesday, Zach. It's the most important day before Election Day.
And then my issue is I keep asking him questions even though I know I don't want to know the answer.
And I have, of course, every answer.
And he knows the answer. So I'm like, so literally at one point I'm like, so what? Never mind. I just stopped. And then I started like, just totally ignoring him.
Oh, God. Dig your own hole, Zachary.
I will.
Yeah. So, Michael Haneke, at the very least, I was skeptical coming into this film.
That's fair.
And I think my skepticism was met with, I don't know, even lowered expectations. Like, my expectations were low to begin with. I didn't want to like it. And I hated it even more than I thought I was going to hate it.
It was painful to watch. It was uncomfortable. As much as we're laughing now, it was actually, like, watching this was pretty horrific. Zach's words coming in, I don't want to misrepresent this, was it's not as disturbing as Clockwork Orange.
No, it's not.
It is.
No, it's not.
Worse.
No, it's not.
This is 50 times worse than Clockwork Orange.
No, here's the reason. Now, I guess Clockwork Orange, looking at it at face value, maybe you could say it was worse. Maybe. But
there's rape scenes.
There are. But the thing is, the way Clockwork is set up, it's in this like weird dystopian universe. Like, it's a little bit more detached, you know?
Exactly.
This one was much more, all the scenes were slow takes, the suspense was building. It felt real.
No music.
Yeah, it just felt like real life. It just felt like you're actually sitting here watching these people get tortured and beaten and murdered.
Right.
Awful.
Right.
And
that was the point, for sure.
It did a good job of making me uncomfortable.
For sure. I don't think Michael Haneke enjoys entertaining his audiences. Like, I don't think that's one of his goals in life. I don't think he wants his audience to be comfortable during his movies, and he wants to unsettle them, and he wants to, have a stare reality right in the face.
Yep.
The problem with that is, there's many problems with that. I mean, I think they're fairly obvious.
No, you know what, though? This movie's definitely right up our alley. Definitely right up our alley. And
in terms of disturbing, sure.
And I don't think it's bad to, you know, want your audience to be uncomfortable. I guess the point I'm really trying to get at, personally, this is just a personal question I have right now, is Zach, what do you actually enjoy about this movie, though? That's what I want to know. And I know your answer before was just like, I just like it.
I
want to try to dig a little deeper.
Just a lot of the things I like, I don't really have an explanation for why I like.
Not that you really, but owe, I you think, don't owe anyone an explanation, really.
Yeah, no, but
it's an opinion, but
I
you owe me one.
But I think because you said it sort of throws the viewer into like the like it's more reality based and whatnot, and I kind of like that about movies. I think movies nowadays are, and it's supposed to be that, you know, they build these worlds that the characters inhabit that you can distance yourself from, but I kind of. I don't want to say like the idea, because that makes me sound psychotic, but I like the idea of, you know, watching a movie and thinking, oh, this shit could happen, and the long takes, you know, if you were sitting in that room, that's all you would see.
Right.
If you were experiencing that, that's all you would be experiencing. Mm-hmm. For example, this movie, except for the opening credits and the closing credits, all music, all sound, and whatnot was coming from the scene. Mm-hmm. You know, the only music was in the car when they were playing that game in the beginning, and then when he's blasting the metal,
the radio,
and
right?
Yeah, and in the house. I like that idea, and I think that's why I kind of like this movie.
And it is also purposefully very unsensationalized in this, and even to the end. I mean, we'll get into spoilers, obviously, but as we kill the final member of the family in the mother, Naomi Watts, and we just toss her overboard. It is done with such
carelessness.
Nonchalance.
Exactly. It was so nonchalant. Like, it was just, you know, this is where the movie has to go. We have to kill her, and we're hungry. We're going to go on to the next house.
Yeah, and I think that also relates to if these characters actually existed, they would just do something like that. They wouldn't think about it. They'd just be like, oh, fuck them, and throw her off the boat.
All very interesting ideas, interesting emotions to play with, interesting stuff. The problem and the execution of it was, I guess, for what he's trying to achieve, very good. The problem is the emotions at play here are not enjoyable. And it's just not an emotion that I want to experience in my life and that I enjoy experiencing on the screen. I think that's just my point. You know, I do want to enjoy a movie when I'm watching it. And maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm too mainstream, but I don't think I am.
I think it's good to be uncomfortable during certain movies when they have a certain mission.
Schindler's List, I want to be uncomfortable
during.
Yeah. I don't want to, like, be like, ha, 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 laugh a minute in Schindler's List. Liam.
But, you know, this is kind of, this is interesting because, like, obviously the reason Schindler's List, we look at that way, is because it's, not only is it tragic, but it's real. I think that's, it actually did happen. But maybe there is, like, a new market, I guess, quote unquote, for this kind of film, though. Don't you think there's a possibility that this kind of realism, absolutely no pleasure, is something that could be opened up, like, and explored a little bit more?
I feel like it has, but none of them have hit mainstream because of the types of movies people like seeing. I don't think we're alone in saying that we don't enjoy movies like this. I mean, there has been an audience for them. I mean, grindhouse movies. I mean, Tarantino loves shit like this. Tarantino enjoys watching torturous, exploitative...
Well, yeah, and I think another thing is, like, I will romanticize the idea of a movie a lot, so I'll be watching... That's why I love shit movies so much, is the idea, the sort of plan of this movie is, oh, something's gonna happen, here's how it's gonna happen. I like thinking about that, and then seeing it is all sort of, like, whatever. But I like the idea of, you know, this is how it's going to happen regardless, and you just got to sit there and through the ride.
So you like that there's no twist. You like that there's no, like, plot turn. That it's just, we see where the end point is, and we're just going to keep going towards that end point, and we're not going to turn left or right at all. We're just going to keep going
straight. Yeah, it's just a linear, like, they, you know, pretty much right from the start, oh, they're going to die.
You know, I think,
spoiler alert.
And it does fuck. it fucks with you because the entire time you're desperately hoping that they don't die. You're desperately hoping that they find a way out. And I think he fucking really drills that shit into you. You know exactly where I'm going. While she's being, like, you know, tricked, tortured, kidnapped, whatever you want to say, while they're fucking with her, she picks up the gun suddenly, shoots one of them, and kills them. She killed one of her captors.
Yes.
Immediately afterwards, and this was the most fuck you moment, because this movie generally, here's where it gets a little weird now, because this movie generally is a representation of realism. But there are certain points where he breaks the fourth wall, looks at the screen, talks to the audience, and this part in particular, immediately after she kills one of her captors, the other captor grabs a remote control, presses rewind, and the movie begins to rewind
yes.
to before she grabbed the gun.
Yes.
And then when she tries to grab the gun again, he stopped her this time. He literally changed reality with the remote control. Right. What is that? What? So if this movie is supposed to be a linear, like, realism, what is that scene
What's
doing?
It all about?
What is it doing? What is that?
I think I could be totally off base on this, and I'm sure Michael Haneke has a 5-paragraph explanation. But I think it is these guys are in control, and whatever you think you can do, and whatever you – when you try to fight back, when you think that you're going to have this hero moment, they're never going to let you have it.
Yeah.
I think it – as you said, he was playing with your expectation – because when you see a movie like this, we've been conditioned to say this is bad guy puts good guy in adversity, good guy overcomes it, right?
Right.
And so just when we're at the climax, we think we've hit that moment where they're going to start fighting back. It turns on you and it says, you think you're watching this movie? You're not watching that movie. You're watching my movie. And we're watching – and the reason why he breaks the fourth wall. We're watching the captor's story. We're not watching the captives.
Yeah. And I think that's sort of – not as evident as the whole rewinding thing, but it's there throughout this entire movie. You know, with the gun, you know, he gives the sort of the kid the illusion, oh yeah, you can kill me, go ahead, pull the fucking trigger.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no bullets in the gun. There's no shell in the gun.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you think he left the gun there on purpose knowing that this would happen? Because he had the shells ready.
Oh, maybe.
It seemed like, and the gun was out there right in the open, like, it seemed like he kind of expected it. I don't know.
Yeah, I think, again, it goes back to the whole, you're in our movie, mm-hmm. this isn't their movie type thing.
Right.
You know, he goes, oh, yeah, well, now I'm just gonna fuck with this kid, so he put it there.
Mm-hmm.
Had the gun not have been there, the whole illusion of there being some sort of control wouldn't be there and wouldn't sort of be throughout the movie, I think.
Right, okay.
There's clearly some interesting stuff here, and I don't like analyzing it to this level, and, like, I'm starting to talk myself into it the more I'm talking about it, even though I didn't enjoy the experience at all. But there's certainly something
to it. It wasn't
a
pleasant experience.
No.
Now, I like this discussion. I like this discussion about realism that we're having with this movie.
Okay.
There's one last thing I really want to try and dig into. That last conversation they were having on the boat was all about realities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like alternate universe realities. And it seemed like they were basically discussing like, oh, you're watching a fiction movie right now, but even this is reality. That's kind of where it seemed like it was going.
Okay.
Right?
I think, well, at one point he did say something like that.
I think he basically said that outright.
He said like, the fictional world exists that it as fiction, so it has to be real.
Because you can see it.
Yeah.
And because you can like, you know, you can understand it with your senses.
And actually, I was, you know me and my trivia and all that whatnot. And,
yeah.
And I was like, I looked up. I was like, hey, what are Peter and Paul talking about at the end of Funny Games?
Mm-hmm.
And it came up with something. And I didn't read the whole article because it was a huge article that somebody wrote about this. But it does talk about that. It talks about, you know, the parody of what we think a movie is and what we think fiction is.
Sure.
Versus what reality is and the ending and the whole nonchalance of killing her sort of puts that into the spotlight of the entire movie, whereas before it was always sort of in the background.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I like where you're going with this. The idea that, that fiction is real and that sometimes that, you know, it is flipping the idea on its head. It is purposely looking Hollywood right in the eyes and say, you know what, we're going to do the complete opposite of whatever you do. But part of the problem with that, and I love transgressive stuff, I love when we try to turn things on their head and make fun of it and parody and do all that. But sometimes the model is there because it works, and sometimes when you fuck with the model so much, it becomes irrecognizable to you. And there's a reason why we enjoy heroes overcoming things. We enjoy why that has been, you know, there's a reason why it's been so powerful for years and years and decades, is that that's the lessons we want to learn from our movies. We want to learn about the human spirit prevailing. We want to learn about, these characters kicking ass and beating the bad guys and showing life who's boss. And it's very rare that you see something like this. The problem is, though, I don't know. I like the rebellious ideas going on here, but sometimes when I see what I want to see, I'm horrified by it. Do you understand what I'm saying?
No, I do.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that has to do with, because the first one was an Austrian film, and I can't help but think to myself, because, I mean, how we even saw when we were watching during Kill-Me-A-Thon, there is differences based on where the film is being made.
Oh, absolutely.
100%. So I can't help but think that in Austria, maybe it didn't get great reviews or whatnot, but it was sort of more understood and sort of slightly better.
So, I don't buy that, because I think every other country in the world likes American movies. Like, if you look at the most popular movies in other countries, they're always American movies. We export them like crazy. The other audiences love that. They love, like, China loves the Transformers and Avengers movies more than we do. So, I think the movies that we're seeing now, we're seeing a very small sample size of, oh, all these other artists are so fucked up. Oh, my God. It's so, these other countries making these horrible movies. I think it's on the fringe there as well. I don't believe that, like, it's being successful over there. Like, it's like a big blockbuster movie in Austria. You know what I mean? I still think, like, they are responding to American filmmaking as the world.
Yeah, I mean, no, I mean, they
is,
are.
Is this director, is he, he's foreign, though.
Yeah, I think
yeah,
he's
so
Austrian.
He's Austrian.
He's Austrian.
Yeah.
And Amour was a French film, but obviously they're close.
Yes.
Geographically.
Yeah,
I think mean, it was French. I'm pretty sure it was
French. Well, I think it's that just that whole sort of European. Because, I mean, even you know, if you watch a European film, an Asian film, an Indian film, a Spanish film, and an American film, they're all going to be drastically different.
Culturally, but I still think the idea that we want the good guy to win is pretty universal.
Yeah, you know, yeah, no. But I'm saying, like, the whole, like, the themes or whatever, if there are any in this film, I think an Austrian audience would understand them slightly better than an American audience would.
Hmm. Maybe.
So what was the theme? I mean, no, seriously, though.
No, you're asking the total wrong person here. Because I honestly don't even understand themes.
It's just
like in English class when they say, oh, you need to write something and here's a theme, I'll be like, I don't know what the fuck to do.
Basically, let's simplify. What was the point? What was the director trying to make us... What conclusion did he want us to come to? That's what I'm having a hard time with. Did it have to do with realities? You know, because that's the main thing that's really standing out pretty well.
I think it's that bad guys win, and that it's very, it is number one that death is inescapable, and that it's going to keep coming after you, and no matter how much you think you want to fight it and run from it, you can't. It's still going to be staring you right in the. I mean, they are clearly. The two brothers are symbols for death and possibly even demonic forces. I don't really like that last shot. To me, seemed like that was the devil.
They're really fucked up.
Yeah, but it is the idea that death, no matter how much you want to escape it, you think that you can get away from it, you can't.
Well, I think again, it just goes back to the idea of that control. You know, there are obviously some things you can control.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can control what kind of laptop or phone you buy, what you eat for dinner, all that thing. But there are things you can't control.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the actions of others, you know, how if buying a laptop, how that affects something else that you're going to have to do with that laptop. It really sort of delves into the, I think, the idea of the whole, you know, you are in control, but only to a certain degree and mm-hmm. not to the degree that we all think we are in control.
It is very much a movie about control. Yeah, I like that a lot. That's
control.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Can we get funny now?
No, this is a serious, good film review.
This is
right now.
It's not bad. It's not bad, but it's also not.
Which is
this
strange.
Show.
Which is strange because I also have always said, "Oh, I would hate to do film reviews." I've said that.
Let's not forget we started this podcast using the word glum in place of cum. So let's get back to funny.
Oh, that's what we were doing.
Is that why you got confused? Is that where the confusion came from?
Here is when I knew this movie was going to be shit. You want to know the exact moment
I
pinpointed it?
No, I would.
It's when Tim Roth started speaking with his shitty American accent. Because Tim fucking Roth... Listen, I love Tim Roth.
Love Tim Roth.
Reservoir Dogs is in my top 20 of all time. Love that movie. Why does he have to keep doing fucking horrible American accents? They're all bad in every movie. Pulp Fiction, it's awful. Selma, it's awful. Reservoir Dogs, it's awful. This is awful. Stop doing American accents. Hateful Eight, it's awful. Just be British. You could be British. That's fine.
Never mind.
He's actually British in Hateful Eight. I should say.
Well, no.
Keep talking.
Well, no, I was going to say he was in Hateful Eight, but I'm like, oh, it's a Quentin Tarantino movie. Of course Tim Roth is going to be in it.
Yes. Actually, hold on.
Here comes Nico. He's running.
Yeah, he's coming.
He's running.
Running around the track.
Time.
He was a British guy, but he didn't do his actual Tim Roth voice. He did this, like, pip, pip, cheerio.
Like a British.
Old school British, and it was awful.
Well, I mean, it makes sense considering the time period.
I guess, but he's got a fine voice. Like he's a fine British man. Just do the fucking British voice. Your character can be British. Just write that into
the
script.
I thought he did pretty well in Pulp Fiction.
Awful act, Honey Bunny.
Yeah,
come on. Oh fuck that act. I love Tim Roth. Just be British.
Hold on, I thought
in
the
your
chick
movies.
Was Honey Bunny.
Honey Bunny. Yeah, yeah. He's
what's his, so
Honey
what's
Bunny.
His name?
Oh jeez.
What was his name?
I don't know.
Pumpkin.
Could have been Pumpkin.
Was it Pumpkin?
Could have been Pumpkin.
Nick, look this up.
Do I have to?
No, it ain't up.
No, I'm going to look it up. You don't have to do it. Don't worry about it.
No, I'm done with Tim Roth's shitty accents.
Let Tim Roth be Tim Roth?
Yeah. Like, why couldn't this character have just moved to England at age 5? Or moved to America from England at age 5? And he met Naomi Watts in here. He doesn't have to be American.
Yeah, he's Pumpkin.
Oh, it is Pumpkin? Okay.
Okay, good pull. Yeah, I don't know. I hate it. I love Tim. I want him to be good. I root for Tim Roth. And I think we're doing a top 10 list on Tim Roth.
I would like to. He'd be another good one to do.
Okay. Top 10 Tim Roth photos. But,
speaking of top 10, I just saw one of our top 10, people in, Psych.
Who was in it? Curry?
Yep.
In the show?
Yeah. He played, Nigel St. Nigel.
Oh, he did, didn't he?
Yeah, he played Nigel St. Nigel.
He was in that show.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
It was great. He was great in it, too.
How long ago was that?
Oh, that episode? That was season 1.
Wow. How's Tim Curry doing these days?
Not well.
Not well?
No, not well.
Not well.
Better than some.
Better than Tim Roth in
but
this
worse
movie.
Than most.
Accurate.
Another observation about Tim Roth.
Oh, boy.
Can we please have a movie where he's mobile? Can we have a movie?
I hope
he wasn't mobile in Hateful Eight.
I hope in the
was
next
was he mobile
movie...
in Selma?
No, he was shot and laying there in Hateful Eight too. He was laying in the fucking corner of the room the entire time. Actually, for like half of it.
Listen, he knows his role. Like, I hope he should make a movie where he stars as like a track star.
He's a character actor, the guy who can't move.
That's his niche.
Guy who can't
move and does bad accents.
Sean Bean dies.
Yeah.
Tim Roth does. Nothing. Does nothing. He just lays
there. And he screams in that stupid American accent.
I'll get paid to sit. Like, fuck it. Like, sure.
We could be Hollywood actors, guys.
You want me to lie down? Fuck yeah. Like, I don't know.
It was a tough day at work, honey. They asked me to sit. Oh, my God.
I had to stand up and walk all the way across that fucking room today. Don't tell me how your day's going. I don't want to hear it. I had to walk today.
No, I haven't.
I went up some fucking stairs. Oh, man.
Do you know the struggle? God damn.
Oh, Tim Roth.
Poor man.
Did you like Naomi Watts in this movie?
I did.
You did?
I just like her.
Is it because she was half pretty much naked?
No, because that made me uncomfortable, actually. For one of the only times... No, listen.
Why am I blanking on other Naomi Watts?
Here's what I'm realizing right now. Here's the conclusion I came to, the disturbing conclusion that I came to. Is that in any movie, I have no fucking problem watching a character, a female character, like showering, unbeknownst to her that the audience is watching.
Sure.
I have no problem watching
you that peep and
you
Tom
have,
shit.
You have no issues with voyeurism?
In a movie? No, not really.
A little peekaboo.
Those things.
Hey, how's your mother?
Those things don't.
How's your mother?
You ever notice those things don't make the audience uncomfortable, even though the character obviously would have no idea that the audience is watching?
Sure.
Doesn't make us uncomfortable. We don't mind peeping Tomming.
Yeah.
Peeping Tomming.
Fair point.
Yeah, it doesn't bother us. But in this movie, when they asked her to undress, when her captors asked her to undress, I was so glad they didn't show anything below her neckline because that would have made me feel like I was a part of this.
I actually thought they were going to just because...
I did too.
That is the nature of this movie.
Interesting that they didn't go there.
And yeah. But then, even then, did you realize throughout the movie, during the like gruesome and sort of obscene parts, the undressing, aside from Peter getting shot, which eventually got undone, you didn't see any of it?
Now, why? Why not show it? I mean, it's not like they were trying to avoid a rating or anything. Like, it's not like this movie's going to make big bucks anyways.
I think it's hard for him to explain his decision to show it. I think, like, not showing it at least gives some sort of artistic merit to it, and it at least gives some sort of artistry to the way that he's telling the story. If he shows it, it's literally just a torture porn.
It becomes a gore film.
Right. And I don't think that was the point of the movie. I don't think this was supposed to just be... Or maybe it was. I don't know.
But you know, so what's more important, though? The way I guess it's going to sound like a weird question, but, like, the way the movie is going to be viewed in terms of, like, genre or the audience perception that you're striving for. Like, if you want the audience to feel this emotion, isn't that more important than saying, oh, the movie's going to be labeled like this? Like, what's more important? I mean, because I think, like, really, if that was his goal, like, they should have showed it. I'm not saying I wanted to see it. I didn't want to see it. I'm glad I didn't see it. But they should have showed it.
Maybe.
Do you know what I mean?
I'll tell you what I did.
That would have made me that much more uncomfortable.
I did appreciate, though, there was a moment in the movie, and it was not pleasant, but it's certainly impactful, was when the kid got shot.
Oh, yeah.
So horrible. By the way, if people didn't watch this movie, we should probably explain.
You know, no, we skipped over that point.
Sure. Two captors come in and torture this family and murder all three of them slowly.
For no reason.
Right.
I've only seen three Naomi Watts movies.
Which ones are those? King Kong and what else?
King Kong, 21 Grams.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, no, I miscounted. I've seen five. J. Edgar.
How do you miscount?
You saw J. Edgar?
I saw J. Edgar. I liked J. Edgar.
That's Clint, too.
I've seen Movie 43.
Oh, jeez.
I saw that.
Terrible movie.
Not good.
I was laughing the entire time, though.
Not good.
Might have been high. Can't remember.
Love those days.
21 Grams.
Yeah.
I saw.
Yeah.
King Kong. High on 21 Grams. And Funny Games.
Okay. All right. Did you see The Impossible?
No.
Not bad. Not good, but not bad. what was I saying? Oh, yeah.
Sorry for that.
They killed the kid, and so it follows Michael Pitt. By the way, Michael Pitt was great in this. Michael Pitt fucking killed this role. Was he Paul or Peter?
Paul.
He was Paul. The older one.
Okay, yeah, because Paul was on top of his shit. Peter needed to step up his game.
Yeah.
Peter wasn't very good.
So, fucking... Michael Pitt in Boardwalk Empire, he was in Hannibal, the TV show. Really good character actor. Apparently a dick to work with, though. People hate working with him.
Really?
Yeah. Great in this. He walks into the other room.
Very
to
stupid
sandwich.
Question.
Yes.
Related to Mike, to Brad Pitt, rather?
No.
Just happened to have, okay.
Yeah, underrated. Yeah, okay. Unrelated.
I don't know if it was like his younger brother or something.
Right. He walks into the other room. You hear the gunshot.
Right.
And then we go back into the living room. We look at the television screen with the blood spattered. And we sit there for, like, a good minute thinking about who was just killed.
I think it's longer than a minute, quite frankly.
It was a long time.
It was a long time.
It felt like 2.5 fucking minutes on that
screen. But also, during that time, you know, you hear Peter and Paul have a little sort of argument.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they literally say, okay, well, you know, bye, we're leaving. And then you hear them walk away, the door closes, and it's still on the TV.
Right. And then it's, like, another, like, I swear to God, like, another 4 minutes... Of that,
it just keeps getting longer.
Of that medium fucking shot of just the living room.
So many medium shots in this fucking movie. Like he refused to do it. They were like,
"Is that lazy?" I think it's lazy.
Maybe, but I feel like that was the intention.
But yeah, I think that just goes back to the whole. Yeah, it's supposed to be if you were sitting there watching.
I guess
you're not gonna have cuts in real life.
Here's the thing, is though, cuts aren't like they can be done without being intrusive.
Yeah.
They can. They can be done with the right pacing and in a way that doesn't distract you from the fact that, like, it doesn't make you realize, oh, shit, this is a movie. Like, it can be done. There's ways to very carefully pace out the cut and, like, make it slow cuts and smooth it out without it being... I don't know, but maybe this effect of dragging out the scene really, like, really digs into you. I don't know.
Well, I sort of viewed it as, you know... Like I said, if you were sitting there, so I sort of took it as a play.
Okay.
If you're watching a play...
It was very much like a play, yeah.
You're just going to sit there doing nothing. The camera's not going to be moving.
True.
You're not going to see extreme close-ups. In any film...
There's not too many close-ups, though, really. There's not too many. It's very below average of what you would normally see. Yeah.
Well, there's not even, like, a lot of establishing shots. It's literally just mostly medium shots.
Yeah.
In order to show you the setting half the time, they just focus on inanimate objects at medium rather than showing you the whole scene.
Right.
It's very weird.
I'm gonna get really nerdy right now. There's an expression that says comedy lives in the medium shot. And that essentially
you don't shoot comedy from far away, not close. It's just, you just shoot it right at mid-range. What?
What does medium shot actually mean?
You gotta,
I think I know what it means.
It's the type of shot. Like, close-up is here, medium shot's, like, here, wide shot is, like, back
okay,
here.
Okay, yeah, I thought so. Okay.
That's all.
I just wanted to make sure.
This is, again, we're getting real nerdy, but was this movie shot like a comedy? Because I think you could make the argument that,
definitely.
That number one, the color schemes, the just the visual palette of the whole thing, the fact that both of the captors were wearing like white,
bright white,
it was
yeah.
brightly lit. There wasn't.
You're right,
a lot
it wasn't
of
dark.
Yeah.
It wasn't ever dark,
except for at nighttime when the kid's running away. But it wasn't really shot like a thriller. It was very that medium shot.
Well, yeah, and like the even. You know, after the kid gets the gun, we're introduced to bright white hallway.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're right, there's really, it's not dark.
I would say as far as these shots, the cuts, a comedy would have some more.
Yeah.
But it's not like comedy, like if it was like a thriller, there would have been like way more. Like, I guess, sure. yeah, if it right? kind of was.
Yeah.
Kind of was. That's a little weird.
And there were aspects of the movie, too, which were darkly funny. I did chuckle a couple times.
You chuckled
times.
A few times, oh, yeah.
I did. There oh, was yeah. some yeah, dark
the dialogue
comedy.
Between those two.
Yeah.
Fucking just horrible.
Dark, dark, dark. So I think maybe there was also this dichotomy of like, you're watching this brutal thing, but also I'm going to tell it as if you were watching this hilarious laugh out loud thing. Which, again, to get even more into it, is what the killers would have if they're telling the story, that's how they would have told it.
Yeah, they're going to view it as a fun, happy movie.
Right. So if we're telling it from their perspective, like, it's going to be a bunch of medium shots. It's going to be, you know, staring at inanimate objects. It's going to be, you know, turning to the camera and making a lot of snarky remarks. You know, it's not going to be this horrific thing. Again, there was a lot of, like you said, the inanimate objects, focusing on the mundane, focusing on this is just another day. This could be anybody's house, anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, when we introduce the family, they're walking around the house, and you're following the dog a little bit, but what you really see, you don't see their faces, you just see Tim Roth putting a bag down, the wife, Naomi Watts, going through the fridge. It's all, this could be anybody, it doesn't have to be this specific family. Again, right. not their story, the story of the killers.
Last question I want to pose to you, okay. guys, real quick. So, if this movie is, as we said, this is the killer's story. They own this movie, they are in control, this is their story. They're telling it the way they want to. They were in 90% of the movie. The only scenes that they were not in was the opening credits of them driving to the house,
mm-hmm.
which really we can scratch that and not even count it. And then when they just
randomly, you can just count those as opening credits.
Yeah,
I mean.
And when they disappeared. When they said, bye, we're gone.
Mm-hmm.
If this was their story and they were in control, does that sort of somewhat imply that they weren't gone, that they knew what was going on, that they were watching? And
oh, for sure. Yeah.
So they were in control.
But see,
what is that?
When he loses control, he fights it by rewinding the track too.
I want to say yes, he was watching and whatnot. But you know, just sort of the characters and what we know of the characters. For all we know, hell, they could have just left and then got someone. And then they were just like, nah, fuck it, let's go back.
Maybe, but I feel like they were more calculated than that. To be honest with you. I didn't think it was that spontaneous.
What were they doing? I mean, like, what do you think they were doing?
I think they were just fucking with him, to be honest with you. The movie's called Funny Games. They were playing. To them, it's a game. To them, this is all just a big cat and mouse
game.
Yeah, okay. You know what I mean? Like, they left. They wanted to see what they would do. They wanted to see how they would respond. The reason why they killed the kid is because the kid tried running, right? Naomi Watts then tried running once they left. And then they killed another person. So, I think they just wanted to see how. Of course, they would have killed the family anyway. But I think
we all knew that was the end result.
Yeah. It's a big experiment to them. It's a big just like put these elements in a, you know, in a ball and see what happens.
Now, what does this say to an audience member who tries running away from this film? Like, what is that? No, really. Yeah.
Keep running.
Yeah.
Don't stop at the neighbor's house.
Oh, my God. Those. Ugh.
Hide behind a tree. That's what you do.
Common theme in our movies is hating all the children.
But you know what? We got what we wanted this time.
And it wasn't satisfying.
No.
It wasn't. That's the worst part.
We finally killed the kid. We were like, oh, thank you. We finally get to kill the kid. And this is what we get. Are we happy now?
I'm not.
I'm not either. This is an awful movie. But I gotta tell you, we dissected it like hell. This is like the definitive Funny Games review, I think.
I mean, it's the only one it's gonna get.
I guess so. Maybe I liked the movie in retrospect. I don't know.
It's I wouldn't watch it again.
No. I wouldn't watch it four fucking times.
Zach.
Hi. How you doing?
But,
I'm mad. I can't find my DVD of it. Oh, I'm so mad. Oh,
how sad.
What will you ever do? Best.
What will you ever do?
I think I bought that, like, at Walmart, too. Like, it, I think it was in the $5 bin.
Walmart, the only place they sell it.
No, it was, like, in the $5. You know how they have the $5? Now it's, what, $7 Blu-rays?
Yes.
I was, like, walking by, and I'm like, oh, funny games. And I read the back, and I'm like, hey, why the fuck not? And I took it home.
Wow.
That's how you discovered like, that's this how movie? I discovered this movie, yeah.
Can we do that in the future? Can we go to the Walmart bin and just pick out a random
just
one?
Just pick something up?
I actually was, like, I was at, like, Dollar General, and they had, like, four movies in one collection.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was about to buy one for you.
I have one that's...
It was just, like, B-movies.
I have one. I can't remember the other three, but it included Equilibrium.
I don't know what that is. What's Equilibrium?
That Christian Bale, Sean Bean movie.
What? Those words have never been in a sentence together.
Never.
You don't know Equilibrium?
No, I don't.
Actually,
it was it good?
I liked it. I know a lot of people who didn't like it.
Well, you liked funny games.
Well, no. Okay, so
that's my line now. That's my go-to line. Well, you liked funny games.
IMDb gave it a 7.5, but Metascore gave it a 33. So...
You either
really like it or you hate it.
Well, one's a bunch of trolly nerds like you that are reviewing, and one is critics that do this for a living. So I think I'm going to trust the critics on this. I mean, they didn't like
funny
games.
It's an interesting movie. The idea is... Quick recap of Equilibrium.
Recrap. Freudian slip.
It's a dystopian future where there's no emotion, so there's no music, there's no art, there's no all these things, and basically the cops, which is what Christian Bale is, he starts to feel emotions. And
I feel like I've heard of this.
Yeah. I have it if you want to borrow it.
That's interesting.
I also have your Seinfeld that I found because I lost.
You lost my Seinfeld collection?
I found it.
Bring that shit back.
I found it.
Right now. I'm not trusting the whole series of Seinfeld, the greatest show of all time, in your hands, sir.
Whole series minus one DVD.
That is true. We lost the DVD. That's right.
So you can't get mad at me because I found it. I found the collection. You still haven't found that DVD.
Oh, man. Okay. Anything else we're going to say about funny games?
You did a good job.
I think we're, you know, for 1 o'clock in the morning. Like,
I'm impressed that we actually
not bad.
You said you weren't going to have a lot to talk about with this movie.
I didn't, but we discovered it along the way together, I think. That was good. Good teamwork, guys. High five. Actually, no, not to you.
Oh, come on.
Don't worry. Next week, we'll do some shitty movie. This is a shitty movie, but we'll do a different shitty movie.
Yes. We'll have some fun next week, maybe.
As always, if you had no idea what the fuck we were talking about, you should have watched it before, because that's what we always recommend.
Mm-hmm. Always watch it before.
Watch it before we talk about it, because... or don't watch it at all. Either way, you're going to be the same content usually, but this time it actually would have been detrimental to not watch the movie.
Eh.
It's probably the only... No, I mean... It's probably
to your podcast experience, not to your psyche. Though.
Right. Right.
Psyche. I would be terrified to see what mine says.
Amazon.NicoEmpire.com. I am ordering microphones next week, you guys.
We're getting separate ones?
Separate ones.
Three?
We're going to get three. We're going to put it together. It's going to be good.
Yes.
You got a switcher?
Yeah, what about the...
no mixer, because I'm going to try doing it virtually. We'll see what happens.
Interesting.
Okay. Yes.
Are we all just going to record three things at the same time?
No, I'll be off air. This is boring conversation for on air. But yeah. Assuming the Amazon payment comes in, we'll do that by hopefully next week. We'll have three set up. It'll be great audio quality.
Awesome. Thrilling.
If you want some more
riveting.
Yes, technical advancements to this podcast, amazon.nicoempire.com. Do all your Amazon shopping from that page. Won't cost you a penny.
Which, again, I totally forgot to do. I bought like $50 worth of stuff. Just totally forgot
to
do it on Amazon.
I do it all the time. I always forget.
That's
cool. So we don't even support ourselves. Like.
We don't have to. It's up to the listeners.
I mean,
at Zach Cap on Twitter, at Tacky Slacks, at Funny.
I don't even know
tweets.
If I have that on my phone.
You
hold on,
get that.
Hold
and,
on.
That's it. You've all been naughty.
Very naughty.
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 Fuck you.
What?
There we go.
Fuck you.